God's word today, let us turn to Psalms chapter 143, verse 11. Psalms chapter 143, verse 11. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. So once again, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And then let us turn to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God is the righteous one. God is the righteous one. God is the righteous one. For he is righteous, he is pleased by righteous works, as it recorded in Psalm chapter 11, 7. For the Lord is righteous, he loves justice. And as he is righteous, for his name's sake, he lets live. For his righteousness' sake, he also saves, as it's recorded in Psalm chapter 143, 11. That for his name's sake, he preserves life and saves. It says, for his name's sake, he saves, as we read in Psalms. And for his name's sake, he does so. Our faith is to believe that by God's righteousness, we have been lifted up. We have been lifted up, meaning the sinner has been lifted up as righteous by the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 5, 9, it says that by the blood of Jesus, we have been justified, that we have now been justified by his blood. So we have been made righteous, and by his righteousness, I, the Spirit, have been lifted up, is what that means. So faith life is to rejoice in the name of God, the name of Yeshua, that rejoice all day long. Amen, hallelujah. And it is also to live a life worthy of giving glory due unto his name. So giving glory due his name. It is not just any other name, but it is to be worthy of giving glory due his name, due the name of God. Today will be about the righteous and name. A name isn't oneself, but it is what identifies a person, and it's equated with one's honor and glory, and therefore people cherish their name. It is a very important factor in the identity of a person, and because of name, one may be happy, because of name, one may be miserable, and because of that name, they may even commit suicide. That's the importance that name holds. So all people who are born in this world, they want to live a good life. But the problem is that it doesn't work out well all the time. So people who live good lives, they desire to do righteous works. Especially with males, they value the attribute of loyalty, valuing a man of loyalty, to be loyal amongst friends and also people, to be one who is trustworthy. So this is a value of humans, righteousness, to be righteous and do righteous works. Because it is a very important value, they want to teach this to their children, for them to keep promises. If it is righteous works, they go to extremes, even as it is a value they want to instill in their children for the generations. There are some people who want to join or enter a certain organization or group. And for that, they vow loyalty. It may not be like the mafia, but some sort of group, some sort of gang, and they pledge loyalty too. And every day there is something they may recite and chant together and make this pledge as they believe what they are doing or are entering is something of value. America, they say that America is the world's policeman, the world's cop. It's not like the world voted for the U.S. to be the policeman, but it's a role they took on, and they say the U.S. is self-proclaimed policeman of the world. And there's a great amount of cost and budget that is used to, that goes along with being the policeman. So it costs a lot being the world's cop, like military budget. And American troops are stationed all over the world, and there is no place they're not present as they hold certain values, such as it may be freedom and peace, and for that they seek to intervene in other nations to influence these different nations by protecting them and instilling in them these values, to uphold these values. And they think that they do such because it is honorable work. So today I am speaking of the righteous. And righteous people are those who focus and hold great importance on their name, that rather than their body, or more than their lives even, they value their name. And for their name's sake, they seek to do work that has purpose. They do things that have a greater cause for the honor of their name. And the greater their cause, the greater the role or responsibility that follows. And the more, the greater their cause, not just a regional level, but national or international level, even the more expectations, and when fulfilled, the more honor there is in doing that. And we may not say it's for Korea or for the USA, but greater than any of those nations, what is greater? It is the nation, the kingdom where Yeshua is king, where Christ is the head. And for this kingdom, you risk your life even. And that is the greatest glory, the greatest honor. I am an honorable man. That even though I look like this, I am an honorable man. Amen. The Bible tells us about the name of God, that the name of God is the name that he has had from eternity. That from eternity, he had this name, that before anything was created, the name of God was existent, self-existent in eternity. If you believe that God is existent before eternity, then his name also existed in eternity. And how are we to understand how he cherishes such name? He is the creator of all things, who cannot reveal himself in his entirety to creatures. But the way in which he did so is by his name, in order to establish this relationship. And you cannot establish a relationship with God without knowing the name of God. That without knowing the name of God, you cannot enter into a relationship with him. So even if you call to some vague concept of a God or heaven, if you do not know the name of the God whom you call unto, then it's meaningless. In order to let men know his name, he revealed his dispensation. Why did God create all things? It was for his name's sake. What is his name? He did not reveal his name from the start. From the get-go, it was a continuous process where he revealed his name in steps so that they can understand and establish a relationship with him. Initially, he revealed his name and himself as I am that I am. I am who I am, meaning I am the self-existent one. Why is his name so long, you may ask? But that is what he proclaimed, that I am the creator and self-existent one. No matter what your name is, I am the one who created you. So there were instances where people put effort to slash themselves and sacrifice even babies out of these religious acts. Whatever that sacrifice may be, it has no relationship with God if they do not know his name. The only way he receives it is when we clearly know the name of God and do it according to how he instructs and when it is done in his name. And that is when he receives such sacrifice. So God created the heavens and he created angels. God created all things, the stars and heavens. They are not beings, but the first beings he created were angels. The reason why angels were created was so that they lift up and praise the name of God to give glory to God. And this was the role and function of angels and the reason why they were created. As I preached last sermon, you may think it's boring that I repeat the same thing over and over again. The angels may have thought that as well, too, since they had to praise his name all the time. And one of them, Luciel, had in his heart to receive the praises lifted up to God for himself. So he and the third of the angels challenged God, and therefore he was given the name Satan, to be an enemy of God. And for that, God created the universe that will one day become hell. The universe that will one day become hell. The dark pit where this angel was cast down until the great day of judgment. Inside this universe and within the earth, he created man. And into one man he breathed his breath of life into his nostrils. And that man became a living being. In Hebrew, it's Adam, the living being, Adam, who is the ancestor of mankind. This was the spirit with the flesh called Adam. To Adam, God gave a command to not eat the forbidden fruit. He was allowed to freely eat of anything except the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This was the command he was given. However, his wife Eve was deceived by the devil, so she ate and in turn gave it to her husband to eat. And because they ate, they sinned, they disobeyed. So sin entered their spirit. So this is the same Satan who was in the spiritual heaven. In reference to God, he is the enemy of God, Satan. But in reference to humans, he is called the devil. And as mankind sinned, they were destined to follow the devil to hell. God had a plan to reveal himself to humans. And for that, he chose a man named Moses, who was instructed to lead the people out of Egypt. He asked God, "Who should I say has sent me to bring them out?" And he asked what his name was. This was when God replied, "I am the self-existent one. I am the self-existent one, Jehovah. I am that I am." In Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, the self-existent one, I am who I am, Jehovah, the creator. And this was what Moses came to know as Jehovah, the creator, the self-existent, I am who I am, all referring to the creator. Moses was to lead the people out of Egypt, and when they left, it was not done naturally, but they experienced unimaginable things that occurred surpassing the natural principles, and were ultimately able to leave the land of Egypt. It was unbelievable as they were slaves for 430 years, but overnight they were able to leave. Shortly after that, they declared that, "Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. He added another, He is the Creator plus the Most High, that His name is the Most High, that His name is above every other name, above every name, by the work of deliverance out of Egypt, witnessing and experiencing the countless signs and wonders. This led them to the confession that He is the Creator and is the Most High. How was Moses able to execute this? It was by his staff. And perhaps he tested and God and questioned, did God really send me to do this work? All these signs and wonders were done by the staff of Moses. Even the splitting of the sea was by Moses lifting up his staff. Also in the desert where water gushed out of rocks, done by the staff. Exodus, when we say that, we think of Moses. And when we think of Moses, what comes to mind is his staff. So we have to be clear on this. Everything is said for a reason and all prepared to lead to the next point. When you think of Israel, if you think there is no connection between Israel and the Exodus, then that's wrong. If you think of Israel, you think of the Exodus and their delivery from Egypt. And it was done by the signs and wonders that Moses performed with his staff. However, as time passed, the descendants were to remember all that occurred. However, certain pieces of information were left out and not conveyed. There were missing pieces of information as time passed. When asked who was the one who delivered their ancestors out of Egypt, they'd answer, who was Moses? So people would say Moses. That's wrong right there. It was Jehovah. And even amongst us, someone said Moses. But this was all done by Jehovah. So as time passed, their memory faded and became blurrier. But God knew this was expected. And that is why they were instructed to build the tabernacle where the staff of Moses was placed. Actually, whose staff? It was Aaron's staff. So Aaron's staff was placed there and not Moses. Why? The reason was to remind them that who was the Redeemer of Israel. So they were to remember who led them out of Egypt, who was their Redeemer, that who fed them in the wilderness, so that they won't answer Moses and they won't worship Moses. That is why instead of placing Moses' staff, it was Aaron's staff that was placed there. And even with the staff that budded, it was done by Jehovah. Through that staff, there were signs and wonders that occurred, but it was to focus on who was behind all this work, that it was Jehovah, that Jehovah was the one who led them out of Egypt. He put in so much effort to let them know His great and mighty name. It says, let them praise Your great and awesome name. What God wanted to ingrain in them was His name. Did Moses himself cross the Jordan and enter the land of Canaan? No, he wasn't able to. He made a mistake, and it actually was quite small compared to what he had done. He incorrectly carried out the instruction. It was a mistake, and before crossing the Jordan, he died on Mount Nebo. But they were unable to find his body. You know, when Joseph died, his body was taken. So shouldn't they have done the same with Moses' body and find it on Mount Nebo? But they were instructed not to. For God hid his body. And why did he hide his body? Because they might have taken his body and made an idol out of it. this was to show God's effort to let them know that it is His name, Jehovah, that is great, and to know that His name is great. Then in the New Testament, in Jude chapter 1:9, it records that the archangel Michael disputed with the devil over the body of Moses to prevent his body from being taken. He disputed about the body of Moses. They were disputing over this body because they both wanted it. Why? Why did the devil want it? Why? To preserve the body so as to lead the people of Israel to create this idol and dismiss the name of the Lord and Jehovah, and to lead them into worshiping Moses. He was judged, and ultimately no one could find Moses' corpse. The name of Jehovah. Those who knew His name, and those such as David against the Philistines before the giant Goliath, he went up against him and was able to strike him down. That against this giant, he was able to overcome with a stone. And he had said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. And he did this in the name of Jehovah. And this strength came from the name of the Lord. So it wasn't the stone itself, but rather it was by the name of God, the name of Jehovah, that this was accomplished. Amen. Hallelujah. They were instructed to build the temple, which contained the name of Jehovah, the name of the Lord. It was built to give sacrifice to who? To the name of Jehovah. And that is why the temple was built. And the temple of Jerusalem was built with the finest materials to give glory to the name Jehovah, to give glory to the name of Jehovah, to bring glory to the name Jehovah. It was the place where the name of Jehovah would dwell forever, where the name of Jehovah would dwell forever. So in the desert, it was the sanctuary, the tabernacle, and then the temple of Jerusalem was built, and this was the place that contained the name of Jehovah to dwell forever. Before such temple, Yeshua appeared and said, destroy this temple. So this very statement was blasphemous, that all these years they put great effort into preserving the temple, for it contained the name of Jehovah, and it was where they would give glory to the name of Jehovah. But the man who appeared said to destroy this temple. Basically, it was a statement saying, kill me. Do you understand? Before that, there was something said by the prophets. The Israelites became corrupted, and the temple was to be a place that would be worthy of bringing glory to the name of Jehovah alone. However, they brought blemished sacrifices, but not only that, they placed idols there as well. This brought great anger from the Lord. And from this tribe to that tribe to different nations, they were therefore taken as captives. And in captivity, they worshipped other gods and profaned the name of God. It says, but afterward you will surely listen to me and no longer profane my holy name with your gifts and idols. That they were taken as captives and brought to other nations where they worshipped other gods, and this profaned the name of Jehovah, for they worshipped Gentile gods. That's why in Ezekiel 36:22-23 it mentions, I will make holy my name. That I will make holy my name. And other versions, it says, I will sanctify my great name. So this was a prophecy that was laid, meaning that a new name would be brought before the temple. So he said, destroy this temple. So everything was a step by step. Because in order for them to understand step by step this process, he had this plan for men to know and to accept his name. So step by step, to let them know that his name is the Most High, the Most Exalted, the name above every name. That is why all this led to him appearing before the temple and telling them to destroy it. Why destroy the temple? What did it contain? Hallelujah. I gave you all hints. I gave you these hints. No longer would it be the name of Jehovah. That era had come to an end. For the name of Jehovah was given to the people of Israel, and from it came the law, which they were to keep. And if kept, their flesh would be healthy and prosperous, and they'd live long and live well in the land of Canaan. This is what they desired. However, they profaned his name and defiled it by doing corrupt acts. And that is why he had come to sanctify his great name, to make holy his great name. In the name of Yeshua, he had come. Yeshua. Yeshua, he is also the creator. In John chapter 1:3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. He is Yeshua, the Word who became flesh, the God who became flesh, the Creator who became flesh. In the past, he appeared in the name of Jehovah, but he came not as the Son of the Creator, but he is the Creator himself who came. John chapter 1:3 says this clearly, that Jesus is the Creator. It's very unfortunate that many theologians still think that Jesus is the son of Jehovah of the Old Testament. There are those who still call on the name of Jehovah, Jehovah, or they still are stuck before destroy the temple, and or those who don't call his name at all because it's so great. But when Yeshua came, this was to be destroyed. This era had come to an end, and that is when he came. He is the creator. So we have to see this for ourselves in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word. So the Word created all things. By the Word he created. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh. So by the Word, he created all things. He is the Creator, and the Creator became flesh. The Creator became flesh. Then why did he make it confusing by revealing himself as Jehovah in the past? So Jehovah is the name of God. Up to a certain point, that is the name of God. But when Jesus came, when he said, I have come, that I have come in the Father's name, and to destroy it. So the work that Jesus performed during his public ministry, a lot of it was that he proclaimed, I came with the Father's name, that my name is the Father's name. In John chapter 5, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. I have come in my Father's name, that not I have been sent in the Father's name, but I have come in my Father's name. So he has come with in his Father's name. And then John chapter 17:11, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. The name of who? Not the name of Jehovah, but the name of Yeshua. Normally, people have a first name and a last name. In Eastern cultures, they say the last name followed by the first name, and in Western cultures, the first name comes first. So the name of God, Yeshua, it's not Jehovah. It's not Yeshua Jehovah. He doesn't have a surname. Jehovah is a name that was delivered by angels, as mentioned in Hebrews chapter 1, 4. Hebrews chapter 1, 4. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. He is referring to Yeshua. So Jesus became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. The angels had names as well. There was Lucifer, but it's not referring to those names. His name is much superior to the angels. That the name he has inherited, given to him as an inheritance, is superior to theirs. So it's the inheritance received from the Father. Inheritance is given by the Father, which is his name that is incomparable. Because the name brought by angels was Jehovah. But now the Son, the Word who became flesh, God who became flesh, he brought his name, and that is the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah! It's incomparable. The name of the Creator versus creatures, it is incomparable. Amen. So his name, to portray the importance of his name, he put in great effort throughout all those years. He put in this effort first by letting them know the importance of the name of Jehovah of the Old Testament. Now, the name he came to give, the name that of the Father, the name of the Son, and it is the name Yeshua. Hallelujah. He prayed, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This is not only the prayer that Jesus Christ taught us to pray, but it was his own prayer as well. Because he came as the Son of Man, he came in the flesh, he also needed prayer. And the content, the purpose, was for the name of the Father to be hallowed. It was for the Father's name to be sanctified, to be hallowed, and this was his prayer throughout his public ministry. In order to let his name be known, he performed many signs and wonders. He performed these many signs and wonders just as Moses had performed with his staff and done in the name of Jehovah. Now, Jesus Christ, he also performed many signs and wonders, but it was not done in the name of Jehovah, but it was in the name of the Father. In the name of the Father, in his name, that when one lays hand on the sick, in his name, he will be healed. And when they cast out in his name, the demons will be cast out. Some people who don't really know, they may think that casting out demons or healing the sick is lowly, but Jesus commanded us to do so in his name. Maybe some may say it would have been better and cooler if we could strike rocks in his name and water comes out, or the waters part. Why cast out demons? It looks so lowly. But the very fact that it was commanded in the name that is superior and above every other name, which healed and cast out demons, is just amazing. That Jesus himself cast out demons and healed the sick. In the past, there were instances of parting the waters and water gushing out of rocks. We don't need that anymore, as we can just go to the store and buy water. But things that are not possible, except only by the name of Jesus, you do. Such as healing and casting out demons in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. The disciples who followed him were also instructed to do the same. And when they did, 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, Lord, we tried. And in the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus, the demons also submit to us. The demons also submit to us. For we use the name of Jesus, and they recognize such name and submitted. And they were like, hallelujah, we are rejoicing and so happy. Rather than that, he said, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Say amen if you've ever had the experience of casting out demons. Have you? Have you had such experience? What brings more joy is that his name is in us, and that has become our inheritance. Amen. Hallelujah. When the time came, one of his disciples betrayed him, and he was handed over to death. He had healed the sick and cast out demons, but was handed over to death, and some may have thought it was unfair. But he said, only when the Holy Spirit comes will the name Yeshua be your inheritance. And what he truly came to give us was the name of Jesus, Yeshua, to give to believers. And when he died on the cross, he did not resist, and as he died, he said, it is finished. It is finished. What he accomplished was the work of the Son to give glory to the Father. He completed this work, giving the greatest glory to the Father. He fulfilled this purpose. Now we turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So he is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In God, they are one. He is one God. But it says, who being in very nature God, so it's only the Son who has a figure or form, who came in the form of flesh, and that's the Son. But they are one. He is God and equal with God, but he made himself nothing and humbled and lowered himself, being made in human likeness, taking the very nature of a servant, being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, he is the Son of God, and his mission was to be done in the flesh, and that is why he came as man in the flesh. He became obedient to death. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit are one. But the moment it was decided he would come in the flesh, in appearance of man, from that moment, it was decided that he would humble himself. Our Father in heaven. It was not just something he wanted to teach us. This was his prayer for himself, that he has a Father. And it was his prayer that the Son would become obedient to the Father to give him glory. This is the key word, and this is the core purpose of the Son of God coming in the flesh. The purpose of God, the Son of God coming in the flesh, the purpose of God sending his one and only Son. Why did God, the Word, become flesh? Why did he come as the Son? It was so that by being obedient to death and obeying the command of the Father, it would bring glory to him, to the Father. Simultaneously, this saved mankind, so they too can bring glory to the Father. Thus, in verse 9, gave him the name that is above every name. The name that is above every name. The name that is above every name. The name that the moment he became obedient to death, the Father was like, this is it. the name he will give to the Son. It is Yeshua, Jesus. Yeshua is his original Aramaic name. When we initially started to use the name Yeshua, there were comments online that the Church of Jesus is a cult for saying Yeshua, but now many churches use the name of Yeshua. But the name above every name, the name of Yeshua, when did the Son receive this as an inheritance from the Father? It was the moment he became obedient to death to give glory to the Father. And when he received the name as an inheritance from the Father, amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. By being obedient to death and receiving the name of the Father, the name of Yeshua, after that the Holy Spirit came and spread this news, and those who believe in Jesus and accept his name have now gained the right to become children of God. Now every knee should bow and every tongue confess that in heaven and on earth and under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. And it is the very plan and purpose of God, the will of God. The reason why God sent his Son to die on the cross was that through the death of the Son, this was the will of God. And all this was done so that he'd receive glory. So what is the purpose of God sending his Son and the Son dying on the cross? It was so that through his death, through his obedience, that the Father would receive glory. Amen. Do you know what the meaning of praise means? It is to lift up and exalt. That by his own death, by the death of the Son, he was lifting up the Father, not by lyrics or songs, but the very act of laying down his life. This was the very praise he lifted up to the Father. Not some music. You may think that when we say praise, it always involves instruments, but this very act of lifting up the Father God is what praise is, and what he accomplished when he laid down his life. Also, through his death, he condemned the devil who wanted to be like God and redeemed mankind by paying the price of sin. This is redemption. In Isaiah 63:16, you, Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. You, Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. That from everlasting, your name is the Redeemer. In eternity, in the beginning, before any creature was created, before any human was created, before the universe was there, his name was already the Redeemer. The name Yeshua. 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 The name of Yeshua, before creation was made, was already there. And by dying, he accomplished everything. And the blood that he shed when he died, and sprinkled his blood, the souls who received the sprinkling of the blood, by the blood of Jesus, they have been redeemed. And when they accept it, they are forgiven and born again as children of God. Amen. Not only children of God, but we can say, I am righteous. I am a righteous one. How? By receiving the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. When we receive that, we have been made righteous. Because we have been made righteous, we have now been given this duty, this work, as one who is righteous. For the name's sake, to do work that is worthy of such name, we must live. To do work that is due the glory of such name, and for that we must live. He died and ascended to heaven. Before that, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. meaning he has become the King of Kings. And with the name above every name, there is no other name greater than his. And with the greatest name, the first command he gave was to give baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28:18-19. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the name of Yeshua, is great in and of itself and above every other name. To emphasize the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is Yeshua. It is the name of God, Yeshua. There is no mention of Jehovah. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is Yeshua. Where else is this written? In Acts chapter 19:5, when Paul said, when they give baptism, it's to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, means the same. And this baptism must be given in his name. That when we give baptism, it must be done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus. So he gave this command as the King of Kings, and he ascended to heaven as he sits on the throne as a King of righteousness by the law that he set according to his righteousness, his righteous words. He will judge the living and dead. He sits there in heaven. Soon after, he sent the Holy Spirit. And who does he come to? He comes to believers, and he comes to the church. So through the Holy Spirit, he lets the church and the believer know the name of Yeshua, the name of Yeshua, the name of Yeshua, the name of Yeshua. You may ask, why is the pastor so excited when it comes to the name of Yeshua? It's absolutely natural. If you know the name, and his name is in you. Like when you were born, you inherited your father's last name. Just like that, in our spirits, we have the name of our Father, the name of Yeshua in us. That we have the name of the God whom we believe, and his name is in us, Yeshua. That I have the name of Yeshua. That is why when they were first baptized, it was to be done in the name of Jesus. What baptism is to bury one's past, old self. That in the name of Jesus, you bury your old self, the past. That you do not, the past that you do not want to remember, all the worrisome, the shameful, embarrassing things, all these sins, in the name of Jesus, when baptism is given, it's buried there. You are no longer tied to the past. And the moment you come out of the water, you are a new creation. I am a new creation. Before you get married and after the engagement, during the process, there are people who break up. In Korea, there are people breaking up after engagement because there's this superstition that if there's a red mark on the family register, it's associated with something bad. So have you heard of this before? So we all have to really listen carefully. Why I am so excited and passionate when I speak of the name of Jesus. The reason is because I have the name of Yeshua in me, and I want all my brothers and sisters to have the name of Yeshua and feel as I do when I speak of this. Amen. So when there's this red mark somewhere in the family records, this may even bring upon breakup or even impact the hiring process because of this superstition that if there's this red mark or this some flaw in the record, then it's bad. So how can we stand before God who has eyes like blazing fire. But when we receive the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, when you are baptized in the name of Jesus, whatever the past may hold, or however it was, you bury it all in the water and come out of the water with a new life, as a new creation. Now this is significant. Amen. Second, the church is the gathering in the name of Yeshua. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. In the church, we gather in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. And that is why this gathering is important. That is why church is important. You may say, look at that church and criticize the church. Whose church is it? It's the church of Yeshua. That if it's the church that gathers in the name of Yeshua, it's the church of Yeshua. And that is why our church is called Church of Jesus. It took a very long and it was not easy to get here. I thought and prayed deeply what church God would be pleased with. And that's after many years of deep thinking, I came up with the name. Hallelujah. So the place where we gather in the name of Yeshua is where we give worship. Worship. In worship, it's important because we gather in his name Yeshua, that through this worship he receives glory. And what's the most important part of worship? It is to lift up his name, to exalt his name. There are some who don't come during praise and only come for the sermon. Or there are some people who only come during the benediction. And there were people like that in the past. It's very ignorant. And for that, one can go to hell. For not knowing, one can go to hell. So worship is to meet the face of God. And the flower of worship is praise, which is lifting up the name of God, exalting the name of God. His name is the Most High, the name above every name, the name above every name, the name that is incomparable to any other name, the eternal and Most High name. And it's not lifted up because we put effort, like in volleyball. It's not because we lift it up. It's not this effort that we do once a week. His name is already lifted up. But by praising through this act, we confess with our faith that his name is Most High. Amen. Hallelujah. So we do this with songs and lyrics, instruments, and even dancing. Dancing is not done by noblemen. It's the lowly. In the past, in the royal courts, it was not the king who would be dancing, but those who were in low positions that would do it. The one who is high and lifted up is seated on the throne. So if we are a servant of God, of Christ, we ought to praise and lift up his name, even if that means we're dancing and leaping in the air like David. Who rejoiced and was so joyful with the ark. He was a king, but he lifted up his legs and leapt up and down in joy. And his wife criticized him for being so vulgar and how he danced. It was a dance, an act of giving glory to the name of God. That's what it was. Amen. To acknowledge and lift up the attributes of God and praise his works is what we do through praise. And what else do we do at church? It's service. Service. Whether by word or deed, we do it in the name of Jesus. That whatever we do, not only the praise, but whatever work we do, to do it in the name of Jesus, to lift up his name. Amen? Is this asked of just anyone? It's only asked of those who have the faith to fulfill this duty. Whatever the duty, the position that is given to us is given because God entrusts this to us. We are servants of Christ, but we also ought to do it with these honorable hearts, as those who have the seal of the name of Jesus on our foreheads. That we have the seal of the name of Jesus on our foreheads. That we will serve the Lamb of God in heaven who sits on the throne. That's what we go to heaven for. That's why we go to heaven. And do you want to go there? The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is who we serve. And it's only the people with the name of Jesus on their foreheads who will do so. That you must have the seal of his name on your foreheads. That the moment someone sees you, what ought to come to their mind is the moment that they see you, what ought to come to mind is Yeshua. Should it be like some actor like Tom Cruise? Is that honorable? The moment someone sees you, Yeshua should come to mind. Amen. Hallelujah. So whether by word or deed, do it in the name of Yeshua. And for this I have contemplated, mourned, and repented. So in church, we must, in the name of Jesus, use the resources we have. Whether through missionary work or charity, I have this embedded in me that all creation was made for the glory of the name of Yeshua. That all creation was made for the glory of the name of Yeshua. And that all creation must be used for the glory of the name Yeshua. These two points are embedded in me. That if we have these resources, it must be used and given for the glory of the name of Yeshua. And this is my concern. We have all these resources, and if we put them on a plane to spread it all over, of course, everyone would welcome and take it. But if it is not done in the name of Jesus, it's meaningless. And after much thought, recently we went to Kentucky, and on the refrigerators, we put the name of Jesus on it. We put a Jesus plaque on it. I don't think this is a thought that came from me, for I'm quite conservative. But this thought, it came to mind, and I was like, oh my God, the money we have, we cannot leave it behind or save for ourselves. We have to offer it up to God. And I want to use it all for the name of Jesus. That if we can give in the name of Jesus, whether it's the name Jesus on a plaque or whatever is done in the name of Jesus, we do not hold back. That is why I have been praying and crying, and so far we've delivered some amount to this day that we've to Kentucky and to Florida, and we are continuing this effort in the name of Jesus, and it's but we pray for this, that whether by word or deed, whatever we say in the name of Jesus and do is in the name of Jesus. If there is an opportunity to do good to all people, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. To give when there is an opportunity to do so, when we have such cases. In Hawaii, there is a great disaster. If the opportunity comes, then do it. But then in Colossians, it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's why it's difficult. For everything must be done in the name of Jesus. The resources that God has given us, let us be able to give in the name of Jesus. And for that, let us pray. When we pray in the name of Jesus, he will answer. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, sicknesses will be healed. And we cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Let us use the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, keep the health of our family. Amen. Lastly, why do we evangelize? Do you really evangelize because you love souls and they're just so pitiful? Raise your hand. Or is it because pastor told us to? or because we have to do it for the soul count, for dedication. The reason you evangelize is for the glory of the name of Jesus, that one more knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. And that's why we evangelize. And by doing this, it is giving glory to God, that every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, and every knee bow and tongue confess to give glory to the God the Father. And for that, the Son died, and that for that, we evangelize. Why do we evangelize? It is to give glory to the Father, to give glory to Jesus. Amen. When evangelizing, if you didn't meet anyone and couldn't preach because it was a rainy day, or you just like a withered plant and just you feel miserable, even so, the fact you went out in the name of Jesus to evangelize, the Father has received glory. Amen. And perhaps out of our efforts, if there is someone that accepts and comes and bows their knee before the name of Jesus, then all the better, all the more glory to our Father. So we must therefore have this God-centered view and perspective on evangelism and as well. Amen. Even this morning, I cried a lot and repented a lot. And the reason why I mourned is worship is to bow the knee before God. Worship, to bow the knee before God. In the Asian culture, we bow during New Year's. For us, we bow the knee before the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. It's only natural to kneel during worship. Even in Korea, we don't physically bow the knees, and we don't do that here either. But to do it every time is difficult. While I am preaching about being God-centered and giving glory to Yeshua, physically bowing the knee every time is difficult. And I asked myself that if Yeshua, the name of Yeshua, could be glorified, that even if everyone leaves, shouldn't I be doing this and teaching this? And I've been repenting about it and praying continuously that if we should change the seats here, that there are some seats in Catholic cathedrals where you can kneel. Maybe it's not for the full worship, but maybe dedicate a time to do so. And this has been my prayer, and I've mentioned this to Deacon James Chai, and but we must do it, that every knee should bow at the name of Jesus. Until then, and it actually happens from the moment you wake every day, you ought to kneel. Are you resolved to kneel every day? When you start the day, you kneel at the name of Jesus and start like that. Then raise your hand. Will you start the day by bowing the knee at the name of Jesus? The reason is that to see the face of God, you must kneel. It is when we bow the knee that He calls us to lift up our heads. We dare not look up to Him, for He is God. He is the Most High. So we ought to bow the knee, and He will call us to lift up our heads. I'm thinking, should I set up a station over there where people come and kneel down in order to able to enter the main hall? There's all these ideas, and if there are any other ideas of how we can kneel during the time of worship, please let me know. And so it's in the working. So I'm going to do this somehow, one way or another. I'm going to make this happen because I know the name of Jesus. Elijah certainly had a special heart for the name of Jehovah, and he fought the battle and performed a great miracle with his name. I believe that I lived the life with a special heart for his name, putting a lot of effort to bring glory to the name of Yeshua. Somehow I came to know and experience the truth, and out of all the names in the world, I came to know that the name of Yeshua is the name of God, and by His name I have been forgiven and born again, and for His name I live this life to give glory, and I am just so grateful. I really have the special heart for His name. When I die, regarding my gravestone, the inscription I mentioned, so usually the person's name, date of birth, and death are written on it. And I had mentioned some time back that I wanted to say Jesus Freak. And but then, come to think of it, I don't think that with this flesh I can bear the name of Jesus. With this flesh that is sinful, how can I bear such a holy and precious name? So I won't be doing that then. So having the name of Jesus in me, because I have His name, I ask that in doing all these things in His name, I ask that He acknowledges me. That the name He has given me, I want to share with those He has given me, and for it to become their inheritance as well. That is my desire. Let us pray.